insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, please make sure to join in the chat room in the other two areas where we have chats. That is either liberaldanradio.com, which will bring you to the YouTube channel, or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well, and that is the Twitch channel, obviously. I don't monitor the Blog Talk Radio stream. I just use it for the phone line and for the soundboard. So it is what it is. Sorry, Donald, I jumped all over your line. So if you're going to call in, please make sure to leave your first name and area code in either one of the chats, so therefore I know who you are, so we can do some modicum of call screening. Otherwise, I'm not going to answer unless I know, recognize your phone number, like if you're Khalil, a friend of the show, and I'll pick up right away or as soon as I see you. Got Lucid Libertarian in the chat room. Good to see you, Lucid Libertarian. Haven't seen you in a good bit, so it's good to see you back around. Got Jeff in the chat, Jolie and Aaron, the Mod Squad, TV2 Live in here earlier than normal at least. Good to see you, TV2 Live. Go subscribe to their channel as well. Good stuff. Always support our show. We've got Rose on the shoulder early today. Welcome, Rose. How are you doing? You want some love early today? That's good. Rose is only one of the three kitties that likes to join me for the show. You'll never see Gloria ever, unless I happen to catch her. Maybe you might see Sophia every once in a while. I guess Rose just did a little drive-by and now she's off back to probably go bug her mommy again. Hey, Wes. Hey, Elizabeth. Good to see you. I'm guessing House Sparks just finished up. Jeff Curry, he wanted tacos or pizza. Went to Taco Bell, got Mexican pizza. Ain't doing that again. LOL. We actually got pizza today as well. My kid had been wanting one of the local pizza joints and I needed to go run an errand. So I was like, let's kill two birds with one stone. We'll get a trip done. And then I was like, my wife was like, all right, well, can you go get to Jersey Mike's and get me a sub? Because Jersey Mike's is one of the few places that will supposedly safely prepare you a sub that is done on gluten-free bread and will do so in a way that's safe for people with celiac. And I say supposedly because if I wasn't watching like a hawk, my wife would have been glutened like a MF-er because, oh my God, he put the package that had the bread, the gluten-free roll down all on the gluten that was not on a clean surface. And I was like, oh, wait a second. Can you please just wait and don't do that until you clean off the surface because you're going to poison my wife. I didn't say it like that, but I was like, could you please do me a favor and clean off that counter so we don't get any cross-contamination? And the other person who was working there, I'm guessing the guy was new, and she kind of guided him along the way at that point. But I was watching like a hawk, because you got to watch like a hawk. But apparently the guy that owns Jersey Mike's Subs, his daughter, I think, has celiac disease. So he makes sure that every one of his establishments has the Udi rolls, so you can have a sandwich if you have celiac disease. So you don't have to, and everyone's supposed to be trained well enough to make sure that they're prepared in a safe way, so there's no cross contamination. So good on them. Shouts out to them. That they don't sponsor the show. I just appreciate the fact that there's a place that my wife can go to get fast food that is that she can enjoy, which is always a good thing. We got much more people coming in. We got Donna. We got Bicycle Mike. We got Cynthia, Jackie. Good to see all of y'all in the YouTube chat. Eazy-E. Eazy-E, I agree that the Boeing whistleblower was Epstein. We will definitely get to that in a second. I do want to go. So is Hal Sparks over now? Because when I last left Hal, he was still going on, and as he should, and he does, and, you know, it's good content. But I want to give people enough time to meander their way over here before I get to the main topic. Bicycle Mike keeps getting banned on channel. Damn, Bicycle Mike, why is that? Why are you misbehaving on other channels? Hilarious. You're a bad boy, Bicycle Mike. You're punished. You got DB Golding over here on the Twitch channel. Thank you. And you got Aaron over here as well. Appreciate you joining us over there. So let's see. Trying to see what's the first thing we want to talk about today. I need to pull up the information on the ranked choice voting. I'd found it very interesting about that. I didn't have enough time to pull it up, to pull up all the about all what's going on with it. But Alaska voted to implement ranked choice voting, and now apparently there is an effort for Alaska to get rid of ranked choice voting because they don't like it. They are very much against ranked choice voting. This is interesting. We'll go into a bunch of that stuff to get into it, but they're coming up to some conclusions when it comes to ranked choice voting that are really wrong. Based on logical fallacies. Very bad implementation. Let's see. Lucid Libertarian, a couple of Alaskans I know absolutely do not like ranked choice voting. Too much fraud and confusion. Well, I don't know how much fraud you might have in ranked choice voting. I'm not sure how one would implement fraud in ranked choice voting. Now, confusion, I mean, is it the fault of the voting system if there's confusion or not? I mean, it seems to be rather clear. You vote for the candidate that you want the most, and then you vote for the candidate you want the second most, and then you vote for the candidate that you want all the way down the line. So anyway, let's go ahead. We're going to talk about that next. We'll get back to that. But the first thing I wanted to talk about, and if people are late to this conversation, it's fine. But first and foremost, let's talk about the show for a second. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on LiberalDanRadio.com, which is a YouTube channel, or twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio. To support the show on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel on Twitch. You can follow the channel. You can also subscribe for free with your Amazon Prime account. You can also subscribe other ways. On YouTube, you can subscribe. You can gift subscriptions, or you can, I guess, become a member. You can gift subscriptions or memberships on the platforms. You can super chat on YouTube. You can spend bits on Twitch. All that good fun stuff. You can also go to liberaldan.com and click the Buy Me a Cider button, or go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio and support the show on a one-time shot, as well as Venmoing the show as well. You can also become a Liberal Day and Radio patron and support the show monthly. And sometimes you'll see bits when they're generated early, and you'll have early access to those bits. You also get early access to some videos when they go live on YouTube. If you are a Liberal Dan Radio member, at the moment I've been giving it to all of the members. At some point I'm going to restrict it to the higher memberships, if you will. I don't know when they'll implement that. It'll probably be a while, so don't worry. But the first thing I wanted to talk about was this over here, all the way on the end, the weed rats. Apparently, the New Orleans police, New Orleans has a new police commissioner obtained from, she was somebody who was, I guess, I don't know if she left her job or if she lost her job, because she was a whistleblower in, I think it was in Washington State, I want to say, or Portland, and she was fired for being a whistleblower or somebody who said that they wanted to give somebody leniency or write ticket or cancel tickets or something. And she was like, I'm not giving people special privileges because they think they're special. And she reported it. They canned her. She sued the city and she won. And well, you know, you're not going to get your job back with the city even after you sue the city and you win because you were right. But she applied to be the new police chief of the city of New Orleans, and she is. She won out the job. Now, there was some disagreement amongst the city council of New Orleans because the person who was the interim police chief was actually also doing a really good job, and that person came in second, and that person hung around for a little bit, but eventually left. But this person, Kirkpatrick, seems to be really good. But she was on the news the other day, and she was at a council meeting, and she was talking about how there were rats in the evidence room and all over the desks and leaving rat droppings on the desks, you know, all kind of gross and everything. But the rats were eating the evidence in the evidence room, which, you know, is not good. But the rats were eating the weed that was left. They were going right to the weed. You had marijuana that was seized from people who were now in Louisiana, in New Orleans specifically, they won't arrest you for personal use. So this is weed that they got from like dealers. So they seized weed from dealers and they put it in evidence. The rats came in and were like, hey, weed. And then they ate the weed. And then as the story has progressed, the rats then got the munchies, and well, what are the rats going to do? They're just going to go eat more weed after getting more of the munchies. And lather, rinse, repeat. You have a mess over in where the police are storing their evidence, and they're now asking for a new place to store their evidence, as you would. Now, somebody had to ruin all the fun on Twitter and was trying to assert that you're not going to get the high from THC unless it's heated up to a certain temperature, if you will. That's why you have to like heat it up to make it into butter if you're making an edible or a gummy, or that's why you have to smoke it. You can't just chew on it and have it be something that makes you hot. Is that true? I don't know. I'm not an expert on marijuana, so I can't tell you, but it was a funny joke nonetheless, even if that whole thing wasn't true. The story is we have rats eating weed in the city of New Orleans, and that was just one of the crazy stories that took place yesterday in the city of New Orleans. So, yeah. Bicycle Mike, rats, no. Easy. And I'm going to be high as a kite. Well, high as a kite or high as a rat? Might be super high as a rat. So, good to see you. Glad you joined us. I appreciate all of the comments in support of me that you were giving in Hal's chat. The when I was on the show, I appreciate it a lot. Your comments did not go unnoticed. So I like that you were saying more of Liberal Dan, so that's awesome. And we're hoping to get more. I know Lucid Libertarian, well, years back, my friend's dog ate a whole quarter of pot. The dog was passed out for hours. So that that person might not have been true, might not have been knowledgeable. Maybe the rats are getting high and then getting the munchies and then eating more pot and then getting more high and then getting more munchies. You never know. Anyway, I'm just rather amused at the fact that the rats picked the evidence locker and the weed specifically to go after. Can you imagine the resale value that they're devouring? I mean, you're not supposed to eat the profits, right? There might be some bad, dirty cops right there in New Orleans who were sitting there going, man, these rats are ruining our opportunity to steal some stuff from evidence and go sell it on the side to make some side hustle. Anyway, having some more of my homemade lemonade, because we still have a ton of lemons, and when parades give you a ton of lemons, you make lemonade. Wes, dogs eat grass when they're sick. That's a different type of grass, Wes. Anyway, but yeah, so let's talk about ranked choice voting. Because the other day we happened to be talking about how California has the jungle primary and how Adam Schiff was able to take advantage of that, running ads mentioning his Republican, one of the Republican running in the race to elevate him so that he would come in second to give Adam Schiff a better chance of winning, and that's what happened. And we had brought up on the show that Alaska had implemented ranked choice voting, but now there is a repeal group that is trying to now get rid of ranked choice voting. So go to Ballotopedia News, ranked choice voting repeal measure certified for November ballot in Alaska. Alaska set to vote on ballot measure to repeal top four ranked choice voting in November. In January, we looked at a campaign to repeal ranked choice voting in Alaska. At the time, the campaign had collected 41,895 signatures, 15,000 more than required to qualify for the ballot. The measure would eliminate the open top four primaries in ranked choice voting in Alaska general elections and would establish a party primary system. The general election winner would be decided by the candidate who receives a plurality of votes. On March 8th, Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom formally certified the initiative for the November 5th ballot as an indirect initiated statute. Background, the state's current system of primary and general election voting was established in 2020. Voters approved ballot measure 2, 50.55% to 49.45%, so it was a very close race. As a result, Alaska uses ranked choice voting for state, congressional, and presidential general elections under the current system. The candidate who receives a majority of the votes is declared the winner of the election. Under the proposed ballot measure, Alaska would switch to party primary process, similar to what takes place in 45 states to determine general election candidates. A political party would decide whether to hold an open or closed primary. Blah, 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 blah. Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. Anyway, so why do Alaskans, specifically Alaskan Republicans, not like ranked choice voting? Let's see this one. The Alaska Beacon has an article, Ranked Choice Repeal Group Appeals Big Fine for Violating Alaska Campaign Finance Laws. Because, you know, what else is new? Supporters of a campaign seeking to turn back the clock on Alaska's voting system laws are appealing more than $90,000 in fines levied by the Alaska Public Offices Commission on Friday's Alaskans for Honest Elections, the Ranked Choice Education Association, Wellspring Ministries, and Arthur Mathias filed a formal appeal in Anchorage Superior Court. The appeal alleges that Alaska's campaign finance regulator made mistakes when it fined the four for their participation in a system that sent campaign money through an organization registered as a church in Washington State. The commission has not yet filed a response to the appeal. Since APOC issued the large fine for violation of campaign finance laws, the regulator has also issued three other fines against Alaskans for Honest Elections for filing financial disclosures late. Alaskans for Honest Elections, what a name, is seeking to repeal Alaskans' open primary and ranked choice voting laws, returning to the state's voting system previously. They got a bunch of signatures, yada, yada, yada. So apparently they went through a church, so to speak. So let's go to this website, Alaskans for Honest Elections. I want to see what they have to say first before we start talking about the problems that I have. This graphic is amazing. All right, let me pull this down here. I got to bring up, I mean, this is some high quality graphics on this website. Oh my Lord, here we go. Just the big ranked choice voting with a little fit. I mean, I can do that in my sleep. I look how tiny this is. I mean, you can't even read that little light. I mean, I guess I could zoom in if I wanted to. Oh, wait, there's a better graphic, I guess. Wait, as we zoom in, it gets different? That's weird. That's very strange. So, vote to repeal ranked choice voting. Thank you, Alaskans. We did it. We're on the ballot. So here's, they filed it. Alaskans, were you lied to about RCV vote yes on? Were you lied to? So they didn't say you were lied to. They're asking, were you lied to? So let's see, what are they saying? Trying to see what their argument is. The join our newsletter. There's really nothing on their website. See, our mission is to return Alaskan elections to Alaskans. Alaskan future is in our hands. There's a Twitter account, and there's contact us here. There's no information on this website as to what their actual problem is with ranked choice voting, other than the fact that they don't like it. Let's check out their Twitter account, shall we? 907 Honest is their Twitter handle. How creative. Dedication page to our efforts to remove ranked choice voting in Alaska. Let's see. How it votes. How it works. This is a very small graphic. Let's try and open this let's see. Open image in new tab. That might be better. Instead of selecting your favorite candidate, they rank all the candidates in the order they want to vote for them. Okay. Let's see. Candidate A, B, C, or D. In this case, the first choice candidate D came in with the least total votes after round one. Candidate D is dropped from the race, and the ballots of those who voted for candidate D will be looked at again and the votes distributed to the second place selection. In this example, the second choice is candidate C. After round two, candidate C has the least votes, so the votes for candidate C will be distributed again amongst the remaining candidates, depending on the voters' second or third choice. Voters who voted for candidate C or D now have their votes counted multiple times, while people voting for candidate... That is not true. Oh, my God. That is such malarkey, to use President Biden's word. Your votes aren't getting counted multiple times. Your votes, it's just you're ranking the votes so that you're basically saying, okay, well, this candidate didn't get this many votes, so let's see what the person's next choice was because this person clearly didn't go. So you're not giving a person another vote. You're giving the person the opportunity to do a runoff. It's like having a runoff. It's like an instant runoff. So in Louisiana, for some of our elections now, or for California, for all of their elections, I think maybe for except for the presidential election, you have a runoff situation where you have everybody running, the top two go into the election, and then the top two get the votes. So if I vote for one of the top two candidates, guess what? I'm voting again for the top two candidates again. But if somebody else voted for one of the people who didn't make it and they come out and vote again, they're then now going to vote for the other person. Everybody gets a vote. This is so misleading. It's not that the last place person gets another vote. Everybody is getting another vote. It's just that everybody is getting another vote. It's just without the last place person involved. It's a whole new election that you happen to vote for on the same ticket. This is so misleading. They're so full of crap. Now we are down to two candidates with the votes from candidate C and D distributed to remaining candidates. Totals are tallied again, and the candidate B is the winner. The voter in this example cast three votes, while people who picked in candidate for B only got one vote. Again, that's not true. The candidates, every person got the same number of votes. It's just you had as many elections, you had four different elections, or you have as many elections as you need until the person gets 50% of the vote plus one. It's just that you happen to have multiple elections on one piece of paper, and if you voted for one of the top two vote-getters, guess what? Your vote is retallied for the same person. They're being so misleading. It's ridiculous. So what happens if you only vote for your top choice? If you only select your top choice and the candidate is eliminated from the race, your ballot is spoiled and your say in the matter is over and there's no second place choice selected. Well, that was your fault for not ranking the people. And this is not their problem. Like I'm gonna come out and say this situation is not their problem. What happened right here is not their problem. What happened right here is actually what they would have liked to have happened, because what happened in the Palin election was that Sarah Palin, let's look at the Sarah Palin election result, like a last election with Sarah Palin. We'll flip back to this for a second. Let's see. Sarah Palin election, Alaska, RCV. So ranked choice voting worked in Alaska. Sarah Palin came to complain about it. See, March 22, Alaska special election. Let's just pull that up. We'll bring that back down. So in the first bunch, you had Mary Pallotta, the Democratic candidate, Sarah Palin, Republican candidate, and you had Nick Bajich or whatever, or my logo's in the way, so let's just delete that for a second. You had those three running, two Republican candidates splitting the vote. Now, in a regular election where just the top vote-getter gets the vote, Mary Pallotta would Peltola would have won outright. But in this, in ranked choice voting or in a runoff, in a regular runoff, you would just have these two go run for election again. But in ranked choice voting, you would have a situation where everybody who voted for these three would then have their votes counted yet again, except the last place person gets knocked off the ballot. And then these people have their votes assigned to the other people because this person's no longer in, while these people have their votes assigned to their same people in the same election because their candidates are still in the race. And more people wanted Mary Peltola than Sarah Palin. So there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. The reason that the Republicans didn't like it, because the person who got the most Republican votes didn't get to move on. Now, if it would have been flipped, let's say Sarah Palin would have gotten less votes than Nick Begich, the third. It's very well possible that maybe it would have flipped the other way. But, you know, who knows? But because Sarah Palin's votes, Sarah Palin was out there, she was the least liked person. And that's the thing about ranked choice voting that people don't get, the benefit to ranked choice voting that people don't get, and why the Republicans don't like it. Because the Republicans like to love to run extreme candidates. And so if you can run the Republican candidate in the primary or whatever and knock out anybody other challenger, then you put it just to a vote of those two, and maybe other people don't show up. But if you have everybody coming out to vote in a ranked choice voting system, the people who came out to vote for Nick Begich might be like, well, you know what? I like Nick, and I'm a Republican, but I really don't like Palin. I don't like Sarah Palin, so therefore my second choice is Mary Peltola. So what happens is that you could have somebody finish second, even in first place, at the top of a ranked choice voting system. Maybe somebody does finish first place with like 40% of the vote. But if that person who finishes first place with 40% of the vote is the last choice in everybody else's ballot, that person's not going to win. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, at least in my mind. Clearly, the Republicans don't like that because they don't like more people to have a say. They like less turnout. And if you have a system that has less turnout, if you can drive less turnout, the Republicans win. So in the situation where you had a closed primary, you would have Sarah Palin versus Nick Begich, and then you have Mary Peltola, you know, against any other Democrats, and then you would have had Sarah Palin versus Mary Peltola in the general election. And then what happens? And then maybe the people who are voting for Nick Begich, maybe some of them just don't bother to come out because they're not necessarily excited for either of the other two, and they sit home, and then Sarah Palin wins. That's what the Republicans want. The Republicans want lower turnout because lower turnout benefits Republican voters. Ranked choice voting brings more people out, therefore more people have a say, therefore it's not good for the Republican Party. It should be implemented almost everywhere. I don't know how you implement it right for the Electoral College, but the Electoral College should be eliminated just flat out, just, you know, eliminate it because it's terrible. But let's see. Trying to see if there's anything else that was in. Say, Lucid Libertarian, I guess I don't know about ranked choice voting, have an opinion or a before or against. I want to hear more from voters in ranked choice voting states first. What are the specific problems with it? Who loves it? I mean, a lot of people do love it. But, like, I just, this graphic right here, this graphic right here is just such a lie. You're not getting multiple votes by one voter. Everybody's getting the same number of votes. Like, it's just, if you have to lie to win your point, you shouldn't be able to win. I'm going to have to harass this Twitter account later. I'm going to have to make some responses that it's not certain people getting multiple votes. Everybody gets the same number of votes. It's just that the people whose votes remain, whose candidates remain as you eliminate people, get the same vote multiple times, whereas the other people are voting for different people as they're ranked, as their first choice goes away. It just, and these people are just drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak. Now, I don't know exactly what they, I don't know specifically what the deal is with their, with what happened as it pertains to the money being funneled through the church. Maybe we'll have to keep an eye on that and give an update on that. But as it stands right now, clear, we're not shocked that there is a dishonest graphic being shown about ranked choice voting and why they think it's terrible. Of course, 907 honest. 907 must translate to we are not. And that's what it is. Anyway, agree or disagree, leave your comments below, like and subscribe. Have a good day. And of course, that's how I end things that I record for those who are still new to the show and not used to me recording things for me to upload later. Let's see what else. Donna O, RCV finished up Palin. Yep, that's what I eventually got to. Wes just put my feet up, which means I might soon get to sleep. I can help you get to sleep if you want me to. I could drop into my NPR voice, be like, welcome to Liberal Band Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. Let's see. If you have to spend a lot in the primary, you don't have enough to contribute to your campaign, the most money spent generally wins. A lot of times, true. Here the question is it Russian disinformation? It could very well be. I mean, it could very well want, you know, it could be Russians trying to mess with elections. I don't know. I don't know if there's any evidence that there's Russian disinformation here. I mean, you know, perhaps some people can see Russia from their house in Alaska, so to speak. Rachel Maddow was telling us that Russia was flooding the internet with fake propaganda websites. That is true. Hey, Adam Westish, if you're still here, if you need to take a health day, I hope you feel better. Jolie, am I allowed to call in and tell stupid, dirty jokes? Maybe. Depends how dirty. Is that Wes? Wes, is that you? Yeah, easy E, sweaty balls. Welcome to Delicious Dish. We're welcoming Pete Sweaty, who's bringing us his dish, sweaty balls. Liberal Dan can definitely do ASMR. I should. Maybe that's the way to get a lot more viewers on my channel, is to talk about ASMR. And I will talk like this and whisper, and then I'll tear some paper, and then I will do some other things. I'm trying to see who that is. No, Dan, I fall asleep to you all the time. yeah, the Rachel Maddow show was jaw-dropping. Yeah, if you didn't watch it, definitely watch it. That from, like, was it last Monday? Not this past Monday, but the Monday before. Who is, is that Jeff? I don't know. I don't know who's calling in at the moment. But if you're calling in, leave your first name and area code, or at least leave your first name in the chat and say, hey, it's me calling, just so I know who it is. Or is it Wes? Wes 815. Okay. Good evening,
unmuted.
Wes.
Welcome. There you are.
Welcome to Liberal Band Radio, Wes.
I was just laughing for sweaty balls and you didn't even hear me.
Yeah.
How are you doing,
Adam? What people love the most are my balls. That's one of the best, one of the top five best Saturday Night Live skits ever.
Yeah, she wants to touch his sweaty balls.
Yeah.
She wants to taste his sweaty balls.
Yeah. Your balls are glistening. That's because I covered them with a lot of oil.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I remember, I think I've heard that or seen it quite a few times, actually.
Oh, I mean, it comes on every holiday season. They bring it on, and every occasion, I'll just bring it back up if I feel like a laugh. So,
yeah. Well, I'm trying to stay awake for at least 20 more minutes, so I thought I would, and I put my feet up because if I leave them down, they get full of water, mm-hmm. and So I put my feet up, and that usually is a sign that I'm going to fall asleep pretty quickly. But I've done it many, many times before. So if I'm asleep at the end of your show, just have everybody make sounds or something to that I should wake up and brush my teeth.
Okay. I have to remind you and my son for brushing teeth. I'll talk about that in a second because I had to give my boys a lesson in sexism yesterday because of teeth brushing.
And you thought of me.
No, I didn't think of you. I'm just saying you reminded me. You just reminded me of that from yesterday.
Is sexist to brush your teeth?
No. It was I'll say it now. My wife brought my oldest son into the orthodontist to deal with his braces. Apparently, my son has not been brushing his teeth well enough, and the orthodontist, who is a guy this time, usually we deal with a woman who is an orthodontist, and she's usually really nice and very nice woman. But this guy apparently was like, we're going to have to take his braces off, and like coming at my wife, like being very blaming of her or whatever. And just, and my wife calls me and she's like, they're threatening to take his braces off now. You need to come in. So I got dressed. I came in because I work from home. So I'm not always, fully dressed. And I come into the orthodontist and I go sit down and I'm like, are y'all taking the braces off now? And she's like, no, we're not taking them out now, this visit. And my wife looked at me and she was like, that's not what they said. And the guy, the orthodontist comes to me and he was very cordial and very like, we're just very concerned about the fact that he doesn't seem to be taking his oral care very very, very, very properly, and we want to make sure that his teeth don't rot. So, if by the next visit there hasn't been an improvement when it comes to his teeth, men,
gotcha.
We're going to have to take off his braces, and then we'll adjust the payment plan accordingly so it's fair to you. This, that, or the other.
Yeah.
He has made very good progress on his teeth or whatever. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but she was like, he was not like that with me. And so we went to dinner last night and my son basically was like, yeah, the way he treated my wife was completely different than the way he treated me. And I used that as a teachable moment to explain to my sons how sexism works and how many times men in positions, certain positions will, especially with like authority or expertise will treat women differently than they treat men, and that is not okay, and it's not a good thing to do, and that's something that they should strive not to do, and they should strive to treat everybody equally. So it was a way.
Right.
It was a way that we basically.
And
I got a cider from Michael Zawadzki. Thank you, Michael, for buying me a cider. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, there's sort of a shaming involved, and my dentist didn't even use anesthesia, and it's like the screwing you get for the screwing you did or something,
But you go to the one from Little Shop of Horrors? Was it Steve
kind
Martin?
Kind of, yeah. He's a friend of my dad's, a friend of my dad's. good.
You'll
Christian
be a dentist. You'll have
a... Anyway, it's like a punishment. Mm-hmm. And they'll shame the kid and the mom because the mom feels like she should be making sure the kid is brushing and flossing and water picking or whatever he's supposed to be doing. And
oh wait, Bicycle Mike is Michael Z. So thank you, Bicycle Mike. Appreciate you. Oh, wait,
thank
anyway.
You, Michael. Yep. Anyway, yeah. And so if he was shaming your son, perhaps your wife felt shame along with that. And maybe
possible,
you were
but
just
I,
trying
I,
to show
I
your
trust
wife,
my wife
that he
I trust both
that
my
bad
wife and
guy.
My son that when they say that he was also shaming her, that he was probably shaming her. And
yeah,
but,
and it's
but,
possible
but when my large 6 foot tall over 300 pound self comes in and sits down and wants to have a conversation about what the hell's going on, things change. Now, I didn't come in angry.
Yeah.
I came in cordial and polite and just inquisitive as to what was going on because I don't start off in I will never start off angry. Oh, most of the time, unless I know something is shady going on, but I will never start off angry. But I will. But if I need to, I'll finish off angry. But I was just wanting to know. But maybe my size was intimidating.
And your wife should feel that way too. She should feel protected.
Right.
But
well, she does.
I know. And I always knew not to take it out on the parent. Kid was acting crazy, you know.
Right.
But if I talked to the parents, I usually tried to be as cordial as possible. But there were times when the parents were rude, and I was still being cordial. And you hold back, but you can't be totally, happy and friendly when somebody is attacking you.
Right. I don't,
yeah,
to Marla's credit, she's also whenever she, like there was a time when I was at Disney World and there was somebody who was, I normally handle issues with my size very well, but this one particular issue, I got very frustrated and very upset. And I just kind of broke down and just kind of walked away and I couldn't talk about it. And I was just like, I was very, very upset. And my wife, she took the initiative and she went full mama bear protect mode. And, you know, so when she has to, she will also be very protective. So,
I know what you're talking about.
I picked well.
Mama Bear.
Yeah, Suzanne.
Yeah, what a...
She's Mama Bear, and I'm the big teddy bear.
Hey, Van.
So.
Yeah. Teddy and Mama. And
but
big hook.
Trust me
kid?
With your life, but not your money or your wife. I was like, oh, I mean, I don't have to trust you with my wife. I trust my wife. That's all that matters. So.
Exactly. Yeah,
anyway.
Some guys are just charming, Big Hook.
I'm a chihuahua, let me tell you. So, anyway.
That only works with New York boys or girls or whoever. Were you being a girl or a boy?
Easy, you handle your size well, huh? I bet your wife loves that. Oh, are we going to go into Liberal Dan After Dark again tonight, too? Jeez Louise. last time we got into lots of topics that I wasn't expecting to get into.
Oh, no. I probably missed them in my sleep. I might have dreamt about them.
Maybe.
I kind of 404,
who's calling in who's 404? Put your name in the YouTube chat, liberaldanradio.com, if you've not already done so. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, please come into the liberaldanradio.com because we don't monitor the YouTube chat. I don't know who area code 404 is. Although if I lived in area code 404, I'd have to make the joke area code not found because error 404 in websites is, you know, sight not found or whatever. So.
Yeah, suspicious, but it seems weird that they'd have your phone number.
Well, it's not my phone. I mean, they listen. I mean, there's three different ways to listen. You listen on Blog Talk Radio, you listen on Twitch, or you listen on YouTube, and I announce the phone number both places. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio, the phone number is prominently displayed, so you can see it all the time, even when I'm not talking about it. And of course, it's difficult to say what area code 404 is. It's the Atlanta, technically it's the Atlanta area. I think I might know who 404 is. I think I might know who 404 is.
Maybe it's my sister.
I think I might know who 404 might be an old friend of the show. So we might go to him without screening. So if assuming it's a him. So anyway, anything else to talk about, Wes, before I head on over to 404?
Not really. I got my music in the background, but you probably can't hear it.
No, I can't hear it. Your microphone's doing a good job of blocking the external sounds. So, oh, wait, I clicked it. I clicked you over. Oh, wait, there you go. Wait, 404 raised his hand. I brought 404 in. How you doing, 404?
I
got both of you on.
Hey, 404.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on tonight? You're not the person I thought you were, but that's fine. We'll go on.
Okay. So I had Lucid bring me up to speed on what was being talked about. And
well,
you
guys
were
talking
about originally. Yes.
You're Patrick? Okay.
And,
awesome.
Yes. And you guys were originally talking about the voting, right?
Yeah,
and
the ranked choice voting.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay. So
all right, hold on a second. Let's just do a quick goodbye to. For some reason, your number switched on my screen, and I was about to I was like, "Why did I mute Wes?" And I'm like, "Oh wait, that wasn't Wes getting muted." So, Wes, anything else before you go? Before we get to Patrick?
No, I thought I was off.
All right. Well, you have
Can
a good one, Wes.
Me?
Thank you for calling in. Love you, man.
You too. Love you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye. All right, Patrick. Now I can devote myself to you now. All right. So ranked choice voting.
So,
let's go.
So what I wanted to get into with you with this is I'm a historionic aficionado, meaning that I study history, and I'm going back. I'm talking thousands of years. I'm 63 years old, this is what I do. However, with that being said, I'm always willing to learn history that I don't know anything about. So when we're talking about Alaska, which politically was the last state, or was it Hawaii, that was part of the United States of America? Because I think it was one of the two. It was either Alaska or Hawaii.
Right.
All right. With that being said, did we include, when I say we, I'm talking about me and you, I'm talking about the powers that be, did they include that into the fabric of the history of the actual Americas, the United States? Or was that viewed as a nomadic land, which is what it really was at that time, and still is to this day? Was that integrated into the political fabric, or was it just that it was just a region that was claimed and brought into the political fabric?
Well, it was purchased well before. I mean, it was made a state in 1959. But it's the 49th state, but it was purchased. Let's see, when was Alaska purchased? When Alaska purchased?
Yeah, and the only thing that was
in 1867
for that was Louisiana.
Right. Louisiana. So Alaska was purchased in 67. So you've got 67, 50. So it's almost 100 years after, just less than 100 years, maybe 90-ish years or so, 92.
Okay.
92 years after we bought it, it became a state.
Okay. With that being said, do you notice how the establishment has dragged its feet on bringing that particular state up to speed with the rest of everything that's going on in modern day history. Because we can look at this historically. We have a lot of countries that get absorbed by other countries, but they just kind of get sat back in the backdrop and they don't get included in the geopolitical landscape of mm-hmm. everything that's going on. Now, would you agree or disagree with that?
I'm trying to understand why, like, I'm just trying to, like, I mean, there are, like, territories that aren't necessarily brought in, but, I mean, so I kind of agree with that, but why do you not think that it's been, that Alaska has been brought in? Like, what do you think that they're not bringing Alaska along up to speed with? Like, that's where I'm kind of confused on.
Okay. Let me give you an analogy. Alaska is a franchise. Think of McDonald's, Burger King, fast food joints. Now, I'm just reducing it to the least common denominator. Alaska is a franchise. You know what one of my favorite shows was?
Mm-hmm.
Was on PBS, they did, what was the winter show that they did? On PBS. I know you know what this is. And for this, oh, I can't realize why I can't think of this right now.
A winter show on PBS?
Yes. Yes. And it was based in Alaska. It was people living off the grid. And it was on, I think it was either IFC. It was on one of the cable channels.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing how people were living off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And it fascinated me so much. I'm born and raised on the west coast of California,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Oakland. When I,
Alaskan bush people?
Below zero.
Oh, below zero? Okay.
Below zero. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
You
don't
remember? The whole show was a documentary on PBS that was in Alaska, and it was people living off the grid. And for some reason, host.
Oh, I see it. Life Below Zero. Okay.
Life Below Zero. That's it right there. And for some reason, I don't even know why, I grew up in a concrete jungle. When I watched Life Below Zero, I felt more at home than I did in my whole life growing up in the city.
Mm.
And I never set foot in Alaska. I never had to build from scratch. I never had to hunt for food. I never had to, you know, they had to create Life Below Zero. Man, that documentary is the bomb. And when I watched that, I'm going to tell you something. I felt at home. And I ain't never even been there.
Hmm.
How does that happen? How does that happen? And I know you've experienced that. I know other people have, where they see something and there's a DNA explosion. And when I say DNA explosion, that means that there's records that come up in your mind
mm-hmm.
that take you back to it, even though you can't remember being there, but somehow you remember being there.
And like something that triggers in your mind where it's just like, you know, where you feel like a kinship or whatever.
You're
like
related,
you might be
to
able,
it.
Perhaps.
Yes. Dude, when I watched Life Below Zero, I was, you talking about binging and being addicted?
Uh-huh.
I watched that every day. I watched the reruns. I would just play it back. And it was like everybody that they showed, because they showed different people in different regions of Alaska, right?
Right.
They showed you people in the north, the south, the east, and the west. And then they showed you people in, like, the Yukon territory, all of that. And it was like, it was so familiar to me, but I wasn't familiar with it.
Mm.
And it created this conflict in my mind, because I was like, why are you so connected to this? You don't know anything about killing any animal live.
Right.
Gutting it, building a fire. Okay, I'm in a house with a gas stove. You just click a button.
Right.
I'm opening a refrigerator. I don't know anything about this. But when I'm watching it, I feel completely connected to it. And my point in bringing that up to that was, when you're talking about the things that you're talking about with Alaska and these indigenous states that we have, they don't
right.
call them that. Why does our country downplay it to the point of where we try to act like this was okay, it wasn't really important? However, those indigenous countries are what galvanized what we call America today. Indians, Alaska, all those outlying regions,
well,
is what brought us together.
There's a history of America downplaying indigeneity from the get-go, so that's not surprising. So, I mean, I would say that is that, you know, from the beginning, you know, we trampled over indigenous people as we crossed the entire country from east to west. And then I've seen some stories about what happened, the shenanigans that took place when we were trying to get Hawaii on board with statehood. Mm. And that wasn't mm-hmm. there was some non-kosher things going on there, and I'm sure there could potentially have not been some kosher things going on with when they were trying to get the Alaska Statehood Act passed either. Because I'm sure there was, because part of it, I think, had to do with, there was some people in Alaska, living in Alaska, who did want statehood simply because of the fact that during World War II, when the, there was a lot of military presence in Alaska, and you ended up having a situation where, like the Japanese ran the Aleutian campaign, and they were like, well, we would feel safer as a state, but there might have been other people who might have felt differently about statehood and who maybe wanted more independence than you might have if you were just a territory and not a state. It's one of the reasons why there's so much every time the Puerto Rico statehood comes up. There's always forces back and forth. I have a friend who is politically connected in Puerto Rico, like knows a bunch of the players, and she has said that there are some major high-powered players out there who every time Puerto Rican statehood comes up, they're Puerto Ricans who are like, no, we don't want to be a state because we want the benefits of being a territory without the requirements of being a state, so therefore we can get the best of both worlds. So there's always shenanigans going on when it comes to whether or not a territory is going to become a state or not. So, but the, you know, as to whether or not why we don't raise up indigeneity, that's just the history of the country. But my question is, how would that then go back to the ranked choice voting issue that I guess is what you initially called in for? So.
Well, the reason why that goes back to the voting issue is because if we're not going to raise the states, or what we call the states, mm-hmm. like you said, I think a better term is territories, which was translated into a state. So Puerto Rico is a U.S., I think they call it the U.S. continental territory, where mm-hmm. they have voting rights. They're U.S. citizens, even though they're not in the United States. Now, when we talk about Alaska, it's the same paradigm. It's that when you can politically draw that line, you can diminish the influence that they can have on the governmental body. So even though Alaska is considered a state, if people talk about Alaska as a territory, politically, they're castrated.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, Alaska is officially a state as opposed to Puerto Rico's not. So, I mean, if people are going to talk about it as a territory, it's not. It's an official state at this point. So, but what does that have to do with the ranked choice voting? Trying to move it
along. Well, what it has to do with is what's called gerrymandering,
mm-hmm.
where you draw political lines and you establish the population that has voting rights versus those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you have to look at that as in a microcosm. You have to look at that, how that works in the United States. So you have to go in urban areas and see how the voting works. And then when you see how that works, then you can go to Alaska, Puerto Rico, all these other regions, and see how the voting works. Because it's going to fall along the same political lines.
Well, the thing with Alaska,
it's not going to deviate.
The thing with Alaska, I believe Alaska has only one at-large seat when it comes to Congress.
Right.
So when it comes to Congress and the election that we're talking about when it comes to Palin, there is no gerrymandering there. It's Alaska, and that's Alaska, and that's it. So there's technically no gerrymander there, because
you know,
you could technically argue that when they created states, those could have been a gerrymander in how they drew the state lines, but Alaska was its own property. That's the property that we bought. That's it. It's done. And it only has enough population to be one district in Congress, even though it's a very big area, but it's just one only has enough population to satisfy one seat. So it's the size of, hey, thank you, Jolie, for the 5 gifted memberships. Appreciate you. You have the situation where it's not a gerrymandered situation. Other places there clearly is. Like in Texas, clearly there's gerrymandering going on. You have like the city of Austin. The city of Austin is entirely represented in its municipality districts, all by Democrats. But in Congress, it was the state of Texas chopped up Austin. It cracked Austin into 4 different districts, and of the 4 representatives that represent Austin, only one's a Democrat, because they chopped up all of the districts and said, okay, well, your Democrats are going to go into this conservative district, these Democrats are going to go into this conservative district. In my mind, and this is a topic for a different show, but in my mind, our world has become so small as compared to the world of the 1700s. In that, in the 1700s, you had to get across your district in a horse and buggy. So therefore, you needed to have compact districts where that you could travel across so that you could represent them at some point. But in today's modern age, we have cars and planes, and you can get across your entire state, let alone your district, in hours for the most part, or you can fly if your state's big enough, like California, you can fly across it. But my point is that we don't even need congressional districts anymore. You could eliminate gerrymandering altogether and just have slates of candidates. But that's a whole completely different topic whatsoever. And I'll that's a hill I'll die on. Because I think that you eventually would take away power from the legislature from being able to pick their own voters, and then because that's the problem with gerrymandering is the legislatures are picking their own voters, whereas if you had slates of candidates, the voters pick who they want as legislators, pick the slates of candidates they want as legislators. It's almost become to the point where the senators have become the people of the representative of the voters, and the House has become the representative of the states, which is the exact opposite of what the founders had intended. Not saying that the founders are what we should the end all and be all of people, but if you're going to be cited, people will often cite the founders. Well, that's the opposite of what the founders wanted. So, anywho.
Okay. Now, host, not to take up your time, here's my last question.
Sure, no problem.
I want to hear other people talk. Based on everything that you just said, isn't that what happened in the Roman Empire?
What, the Roman Empire didn't it just get too big?
Well, no.
Or too corrupt?
From a political standpoint, because you had what was not, because we've been told Caesar was not an emperor. He was sort of a president because the Roman Empire was a republic. Then you had the Senate, and we mimic what the Roman Empire did. So you had the Senate, you had the Congress. Now, during the Roman Empire, you had the Senate. I don't remember who the Congress represented. I think that was basically the low-level politicians. And then you had the emperor, who basically was the president. However, if we go back and look at the works of Aurelius and a few of the other philosophical dignitaries at that time, they were all about the Republic because they didn't want there to be, and even Caesar, Julius Caesar, didn't want there to be an emperor. They wanted to be presidential, and I think that's what the United States has mimicked themselves off of from a governmental standpoint. But going back to my question, is that where we fell off with that? That whole paradigm?
Well, I think there was multiple problems. You had corruption. There was corruption in the Roman Empire. I mean, you know, you're going to have corruption at many levels, but there was large levels of corruptions. You had the empire was overexpanded. It was too big. I wouldn't necessarily say that we've overexpanded. The empire was too big.
When you say we haven't overexpanded, the United States hasn't overexpanded?
Not territorial wise, I would say no.
Okay. Go on.
But then you also had invading people. Like the Germanic tribes, for example, were invading from I think the north and central Europe. So when you have corruption preventing you, I guess, from being able to have an effective government, and then you have too much to maintain, and then somebody comes in and takes advantage of that and attacks you, well, you're going to get screwed. So it was a recipe for disaster. Whereas land-wise, we're still pretty compact, relatively. We're waterlocked, with the exception of, you know, Hawaii and Alaska, but, you know, we're pretty much still in the same general area. We haven't expanded out beyond, you know, haven't tried to absorb Canada or Mexico. You know, we've stopped at after a certain point, and I don't think at this point, we're not necessarily at threat of an invasion. I think the biggest threat of I think the biggest threat would maybe come from within that would cause a potential problem as to why we might topple, which is why this upcoming election may very well be very important. I don't like how every election, according to your politician, it's the most important election in the history of elections. So I tend to not try and use that every election because it tends to take away the importance when real important elections come along. But, you know, there are some important elections, and then there are some elections that are not necessarily as important as other ones. And I'm thinking this upcoming election is important as well. Thank you, at Astra, for the follow over on Twitch. Appreciate you. Anyway, well, thank you very much for the call-in. I appreciate you, Patrick. It was nice to have you call in. You're welcome to call in again, and I'll remember that 404 is a friendly number. Most likely a friendly number when you call in the next time.
Appreciate you, my good man. And I just want to leave you with something that you just said, because I want to hear the rest of the show and just kind of be in the background.
Right.
I like how you brought the political spectrum from ancient days to the present day, because mm-hmm. it really hasn't changed. The political paradigm always remains the same. So the things that you're talking about, and I don't really like to get into conversations of modern day politics
mm-hmm.
because I study ancient history. I've been doing that since I was I'm 63. I've been studying history since I was like 20 years old. So I don't say that to say that I know everything. I just
right.
say that to say that I've been studying it, and I just love hearing people talk such as yourself, and just having different angles. And I just want, for all the people who are listening, man, call in, share your thoughts, talk to the man. He's there.
I would love it. I would
and
love to have more
off.
People call in. They're welcome
I'm
to
a,
them.
A,
I mean, maybe they just like,
I'm a,
they like hearing the dulcet tones of Liberal Dan Radio. But
yes,
I would say there's probably
yes.
one very, very good reasons why you have politics not necessarily changing throughout the history because of the roots of the word. You have poly, which means many, and you have ticks, which
yeah.
are blood-sucking
ticks.
Animals.
Okay.
Go.
I'm not going there with you right now. However, this is the last thing I'm going to leave you with. This is the last thing I'm going to leave you with, folks. Have you ever read the book The Prince?
I've not yet.
That was required reading when I was in high school. And you know who the author of that book is?
Who?
Machiavelli. Niccolo.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's not familiar.
That,
but
that book is only 100 pages long. It ain't even 100 pages. It's like 96 pages. That was required reading when I was in college. This was back in the early 80s. And for everybody that's listening, if you don't understand what that means, go back and watch film of Hitler, Stalin, all of them. You can go back to the 18th century. You can go back to England. You can go back to all of that. That was required reading for the aristocracy. The book called The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli. And with that being said, I'm going to leave you with that. I will be listening. I will be hanging like a bat on a wire just for somebody to call in and just drop some more knowledge. And always remember, all of you, the word knowledge, know the ledge, know what you're hanging on.
All right.
And I'm out.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. You have a good one. Nice talking to you. It was nice meeting you. Have a good day. All right. And everyone, Patrick, that went well. I accepted the call before I saw the Lucid Libertarian say who it was, and, you know, it went well. So sometimes blind acceptance of calls don't go as well as that, as we've heard in the past, but that one I think was a good call. So there we go. It was a nice, chill, lucid conversation. So we got Al Razor joining us in the chat room. We got who else also joined us along the way? We got Cynthia from Texas. Welcome. Bill M. I think I just saw you. Joe Gibb. Appreciate you. Who else has hopped on in since we've been chatting with Patrick? I don't know if I've missed you. I'm sorry, but there you go. And again, appreciate you, Jolie, once again, for all the gifted subscriptions. That's one of the many ways you could support the show. You can give subscriptions or gift memberships on YouTube. You can give subscriptions on Twitch. You can buy your membership yourself on YouTube, super chats, super stickers on YouTube. You can use bits on Twitch as well. All that good stuff as well. You can also, buy me cider, as Bicycle Mike did. Go to liberaldan.com, click the Buy Me a Cider button. Venmo is available, Liberal Dan on Venmo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway. So it's nice to have good conversations where, you know, we can have a nice chat and not argue and not piss off the viewers. See, Cynthia from Texas, I'm too angry to be a good caller, so I'd only end up flirting with Dan. Oh, my. Well, you know, maybe save that for the next time I come up to Dallas. Hey. If I do come up to Dallas. Hopefully the next time Hal comes up to Dallas, I'll be able to go up and come up and make it up there. So hopefully we'll see. So, but let's get on to the actual topic of the show of the day. It's 9:22 and we actually haven't talked about the main topic of the show, which is John Barnett. Who is John Barnett? Let's do some history first. A few months after a video of a Boeing plane flying with a gaping hole in its side stunned the country, Boeing whistleblower, John Barnett is a quality manager in North Carolina for 32 years. Barnett was supplying evidence to a whistleblower lawsuit that alleged 1 in 4 oxygen masks on Boeing planes could be defective and that certain parts of Boeing aircraft speeding through the production line were subpar. When a person like John Barnett brings forward sensitive information about physical or digital products or a powerful person, lawyers, regulators, or journalists swoop in to amplify and act on the information brought to light. Laws are written. This is from Fortune magazine. This is less of a, I thought this is going to be more of a historical thing of what John Barnett did. Let's see, maybe this one is, years after speaking. So he's been speaking about safety concerns dealing with Boeing for years. So this is not a new thing dealing with John Barnett. He's been talking about it for years. He has been a whistleblower for years. He was in Charleston, South Carolina. And the first thing that happened, the first time that I heard about him yesterday, all the news said was John Barnett, the Boeing whistleblower, was found dead. That's all the first report that I heard said. I looked immediately at my wife. And I said, John Barnett didn't kill himself. I didn't know what the circumstances of his death was. It could have been a heart attack. It could have been It could have been a murder. It could have been, they didn't say what it was. All it said that he was found dead. They didn't say what it was. And then like an hour and a half later, the news goes, John Barnett, Boeing whistleblower, was found dead in an apparent suicide. And I look back at the TV and I'm like, I told you. I knew that it was going to be something like that. Because here's a guy who's a whistleblower. He's this Boeing is a huge company. And yet he's now, I think right before he's about to go testify, now he dies? He's been talking about it for years. And now he dies? It doesn't pass the smell test. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. Honestly. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist at all when it comes to most things. But the exception proves the rule, as a former coworker of mine loved to say. The exception proves the rule. Everybody, when Epstein was found dead in his cell of an apparent suicide, everybody was like, there is no way that he did that. There's no way. He has too many names of too many people who have done too many things. There's no way that Epstein killed himself. And it was one thing that I thought maybe could bring the nation together, which was that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Clearly it didn't. I mean, conservatives that on the talk show that I would call into on the conservative talk would agree with me on that. We agreed that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, but that didn't cause us to come together for anything else politically. None whatsoever. However, here's this guy who's been whistleblowing for years. He's been supplying evidence for a whistleblowing lawsuit. Let's see, when was John Barnett supposed to testify? Let's see, Boeing whistleblower's lawyers question whether he committed suicide, call through thorough probe, no one can believe it. See, Fox Business, the first article that is that Fox Business from 2 days ago, Boeing whistleblower reportedly found dead. The Daily Beast from 3 days ago. Boeing whistleblower found dead amid testimony against company. Former quality control engineer at Boeing would testify. He testified in recent days in a whistleblower lawsuit against the aircraft giant, was found dead over the weekend. The BBC reported John Barnett, 62, had been in Charleston, South Carolina to be deposed in the case last week. According to the news service, when he failed to turn up Saturday, inquiries were made at the hotel where he was found in his truck in the parking lot. The Charleston County coroner confirmed Barnett's death to BBC and said the cause was an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A police investigation in the matter is ongoing and does not immediately clear if foul play is expected or suspected. In a statement to the BBC, Boeing said, "We are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing and our thoughts are with the family and friends." Barnett, a 32-year-old Boeing veteran, told BBC in 2019 that he'd found faulty emergency oxygen bottles while working the 787 Dreamliner a few years prior. He sued the company after claiming it slow-walked his complaint, sidelining him and eventually pushing him into retirement. Boeing has denied wrongdoing. Dun, dun, dun. Joe Gibb, check the Clinton's emails. Butter emails. Alton Gillespie, don't F with Boeing or Disney. Oh, Alton, Hal plays Grapevine, not Dallas. Close enough. Uh, Jolie, new song from his son just dropped Friday. That's pretty awesome. Awesome. Good to see. Nice to see your son's success. Big Hook, suspicious suicide at best. Exactly. Suzanne profits before safety. Well, that's the case of many. That's the case of many corporations out there. Look at the Macondo oil spill, the Deepwater Horizon. When that happened, all of the oil companies were found to be putting profits before safety. The oil spill could have been, the explosion could have been prevented with like a $50,000 or maybe $500,000 piece of equipment or whatever. I don't know. But the amount of money that they would have saved in the long term had they just installed the equipment was much more than the cost of the equipment. But in the long term, as they say in economics, everyone's dead. So that's why they try and get money in the short term as much as possible, because who cares about the long term? They'll make a new company in the long term, right? So that, and it turned out in like the Deepwater Horizon fiasco, when they were in Congress testifying over their emergency procedures, like many of the big oil players all used the same emergency contact for when a disaster would happen, and that guy was dead. They all used the same dead guy. So don't tell me that they are operating responsibly. Joe gave it was Hunter a bad drug deal. Nice. Suzanne saying, your cat's listening to this program? Well, your cat has good taste. Maybe I need to get your cat, because my cats tend to not like me. Like, I have three. My dog loves me. But my cats, there's Rose, who comes to see me whenever she feels like it, which is rather cat-like. I mean, she'll occasionally come lay on me, and that's fine. I'll deal with it. You have Sophia, who will snuggle with me occasionally. She's fine, too. But then there's Gloria, who I picked, who hates me. So, the Eazy-E Network, they had him Epstein'd. I mean, that was my original thought. As soon as I heard he was found dead, even though they didn't say it was an apparent suicide in the first report, I was like, yep. He didn't kill himself. Let's see, Suzanne. Yeah, scanned too far. Scanned too far. The Russians who live in Siberia are helping the Ukraine troops, Slava Ukraine. Wow. That's awesome. Coincidence requires a lot of planning. Malcolm Nance. Good point. Question. Guy found shot dead inside a car, no gun, windows all up, doors locked. How did it happen? Maybe somebody took the automatic lock, automatic key. I don't know. Eazy-E Network, I think Epstein was going to expose people. Oh, absolutely, Epstein was going to expose people. I'm surprised Ghislaine Maxwell is still kicking. Yeah, I would definitely love to know how the Siberians are helping. This libertarian, yeah, this Barnett death is very suspicious. That I doubt he actually committed suicide. Look, hey, it's another matter where me and the libertarian agree. And I'm sure if I called the Jeff Guerrero show and I called in and be like, John Barnett didn't kill himself, he'd be like, yep, I agree with you too. So sometimes it's good to be able to find common ground. See, the lock door could be faked by using a copied key fob, potentially. Check Trump's whereabouts. He had Epstein killed, no doubt. I'm a painter who borrows. Oh, what's that? I don't know. What's that about? Microsoft or Elon Musk, they will sue you or buy you or both. Exactly, Wes. Cut it out. Alta Gillespie, to starters. Grapevine is considered Dallas area. We've been over this. I heard through the grapevine, how much longer would you be mine? Oh, I heard it through the grapevine. The problem is, Wes, dead guys don't talk. He's been talking for a long-ass time. So what was he going to say next that was going to be the problem? I guess maybe that's the thing. Maybe they're like, well, he's going to say this thing next, so now we got to do something about it now, right? safety equipment and gauges are too difficult to replace, really. Texas was reporting on this morning Ukraine gave tanks and arms to Russians and Siberians disillusioned with Putin. Huh. Ukraine gave tanks and Siberia says, you're welcome. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Sorry. Had to do it. Had to do it. Oh, I'm a painter that borrows images for jobs and the mouse will bite. Ah, okay. There you go. Yes. Mickey Mouse will definitely bite. They want you to join the family as long as you pay the correct licensing fees, which is why the two card games I'm playing are able to do what they do is because they are official licensees of Disney products, one of them being Star Wars, one of them being Disney Animated Studios. So, is there something else I wanted to bring up on the show today? Oh, yes, there was. Moose and squirrel impression next, Dan. In Soviet Russia, tanks give you instead of you give tanks. Tanks give you. Can't use their chaw songs in church if the service is broadcast. Bunch of others too. Yeah. Unless it's a parody of the songs. I was so wanting. I was begging people. It was a TikTok video or whatever video about whatchamacallit. What is that? I thought something happened. It's showing no data, but that's not true. There was some church that did a parody, if you will. I don't know if it was officially a parody, but they redid Hamilton, but they did it as like a Christian type of thing instead of an American history type thing. And I thought of like alternate lyrics for You'll Be Back instead of doing for You'll Be Back. It was more like, you know, like I'll be back without Jesus' resurrection or something. And about repenting for your sins or whatever. And I was like, I'll continue this song if you go follow Liberal Dan Radio on YouTube and make sure I hit affiliate or whatever. And nobody did. So, oh well, it is what it is. See, my brother died of throat cancer. He drank a lot, but smoked more. She blames that on anything. Okay. I trust the FBI way more than I do the CIA. Yeah. I think that's pretty much true of everybody. In Soviet Russia, road forks you. The road roundabout. We have little choice but to trust the authorities when at times start becoming difficult. I trust the men in black. Sorry. Oh, we have a rosy posy down here. She's wanting scritches, but she's not jumping up yet, so you don't get to see cat butt. At least not yet. Maybe you'll see it soon. Cynthia, Texas, good news. I got a liberal millennial registered to vote yesterday. Huzzah! One down. Many more to go. Get Cruz out of office, and maybe you can get flip Texas to Biden. That would freak them out. Then they would be done. They would absolutely be done. I do need to make a video, though. I have a video that I need to make pertaining to one of the things I've talked about several times on the commercial, which is the whole everyone's making a big freak out about all of the primary, you know, undecideds or non-committed that people voted for, and how I need to just graphically show, well, this is what it was this year. This is what it was during Obama's. This is what it was during Clinton. So the past three times you had a Democratic candidate running for re-election, and this is the circumstance. This is how many uncommitted. This is the percentage of uncommitted votes they got. Joe Biden's uncommitted percentage is not a big deal. Shut up about it. that's basically should be my video that I need to come up with next. So, but, you know, especially since now it seems, knock on wood, my throat seems, or my cough seems to be getting almost better. So hopefully it remains the same. I still have an occasional cough every now and then, but. And I did take some cough medicine, some cough pills before the show to make sure that I didn't start going all crazy coughing before the show or during the show. But, you know, it seems to be getting better, thankfully. So, but the other thing I wanted to talk about is on the Squawk Box on CNBC, which is filmed in New York City, Donald Trump started talking about E. Jean Carroll again. And he started defaming her again, saying that the charges were fake again, saying that she made things up again. He can't shut up. Like, if there was a possibility of betting on, like, an over or an under on whether or not Donald Trump, will Donald Trump be able to shut up and not say anything about E. Jean Carroll? Always take the under. Because clearly, he can't shut up. He's never learned his lesson about it. He's not going to stop talking about E. Jean Carroll. And he's just going to continuously siphon money out of his pockets until he has no more. He's going to be like the two old brothers from Trading Places on the street in Coming to America. Broke and bankrupt on the street.
Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Could you please spare some change? I need to buy some hamburgers and some coffee.
Cynthia, he'll never learn. No, he's never going to learn. He and they'll never be an attorney. Like Hal the other day on last Friday's show made a decent point that if you had an attorney, that would be like, look, we know it's full of crap, and we're gonna get you the win as long as you shut up about it. Just don't say anything. That's how we win. I don't even know if then that'll work. Because he can't shut up about anything. He's going to keep talking and keep talking. I think he's going to think that eventually he's going to become president. That's what he wants to delay everything for. He's going to become president. That's what he wants. He wants to become president, and then he thinks that nobody's going to be able to seize any of his money because he's president. And he can't take his money as president is what he's thinking. That's his hope, his dream. And if he loses, he runs to some country that doesn't have extradition and makes sure he hides a whole bunch of cash in an account that nobody can find so that he can live off of that money or what have you. But then, like, the Russian oligarchs who he owes billions of dollars to or whatever, or who co-signed the loans for him, are going to come hunting for him and be like, Donald, the only reason we back you is because you could win. You don't win, so we have no use for you anymore. We must collect, or we must... Yep, Wes, yep, they've taken over the RNC and their funds. So, I mean, in the normal world, the situation is so bad financially for Trump that there should be no way that the Democrats don't run away with this election. But this isn't a normal world. This is a world with a bunch of ignorant-ass Trump supporters who are going to come out and vote for him regardless of what he gets charged with, regardless of what he admits to, regardless of what he gets convicted of. They're just going to just continuously vote Trump. So what matters is everybody else coming out and voting Biden. Because as many Republicans who are anti-Trump have said, it's not enough to not vote Trump. You have to come vote Biden. So. Texas Paul showed a picture of the gang of Judicial Crush all together Rosenstein, Calvin, all star under Rosenstein was her. Jeff and Dan did a Russian accent a little too good. I don't know about that. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. You don't know. It reminds me of the time when I was driving for Uber or Lyft, and I had these passengers, for those of you who haven't heard this story before, some may have already, and you had this bunch of guys, and they were in town for a convention, and they told me that they had taken this taxi ride, and the taxi driver was a Russian guy, and they said he had his Lyft app open, and he's like, look at all these drivers out here trying to undercut me. It's not fair. And the guy was like, the guys were like, what, you're showing me how your competitors charge less money than you? They didn't see how it was smart. And then I was like, yeah, but I give you best service. And they're like, oh, you know him. Because apparently he said the exact same thing in the exact same way with the exact same words. And I was like, no, it just sounds like something that they would say. And so we all laughed. And then it just so happened in the city of New Orleans, which isn't like, you know, New York City big, but it's still a big city, and there's a convention in town, and I just so happened to pick a few of them up again another time. And they said they had a bad experience with that cabbie, but they happened to get in another cab with another Russian driver. And I was like, hey, have you had any more experiences with any Russian cab drivers? And he was like, they were like, well, in reality, yes, we did. I'm like, really? After the last one, you went back to a cab? He was like, well, it was surging, so we decided to take a cab. I'm like, all right, fair enough. And he's like, the cab driver, everyone gets in the cab, they start to pull off, and like he has to slam on his brakes real quick because there's a couple that's walking right in front of the car, and the boyfriend like slams the hood of the cab, and I'm like, but at least I'm not hit her. And they're like, you must know this guy, because that was exactly what he said, too. So I'm like, no, it's just, it is what it is. So Cynthia, one would think Eric and Junior would beg him to STFU. They may very well be begging him to STFU, but that doesn't mean he's going to listen. He may very well talk about how wonderful he thinks his family is, but that's probably only because he thinks they're wonderful, because he thinks his DNA grants them with the wonderfulness that is Trump. But I don't think he loves any of them. I don't think he's capable of the emotion. So see, what funds estimated 11 million left? Oh, we are living witness to the 45 bankrupting the GOP. I would love to see it. Part of that goes back to him believing that he is so smart that he can skate along the edge of the law and get away with anything. Anyone can just follow the law. Yeah, he does believe that he is above the law, and he thinks that because that's what he'll do. He'll do, you know, that's what he used to do in business. He would con people in business all the time. He'd say, hey, I'm going to charge you, or you're going to do work for me, and I'll sign a contract. And they do the people do the work, and they send him the bill, and he's like, well, I'm just going to pay this instead. And they're like, no, you're supposed to pay this whole thing. I'm like, okay, well, sue me. And Trump has high-powered attorneys who he has on retainer who could force them to go through court for years and years and years, and the amount of money that they're going to have to pay their attorneys to sue them in the hopes that they win, it's going to mean that they're going to make less money than they would have if they just accept his settlement offer. So they accepted the settlement offer and the loss. And of course, all the times his businesses declared bankruptcy. And of course, these are the same people who are supporting him who tell people with student loans that they need to pay their loans. It's hypocrisy. I think I have a hypocrite of the week about that. Truck stop. Some folks with a strong northern accent gasped me for directions. I know they will remember me. My hillbilly kicked in. Did I tell you about this one during Mardi Gras when somebody was like playing cricket with like a sign and one of the balls they caught off a float and the ball like hit me square in the head right here and that hurt and I yelled ow and some dude over here laughed and I was pissed off that the guy was laughing and I'm pissed off that I'm hurt and I'm pissed off that they didn't realize that they did anything crappy to me and all of a sudden like I said, you know, y'all aren't even going to apologize over the fact that y'all whacked me in the head with that ball. And they started calling me all sorts of names or whatever. And I had all sorts of witty comebacks and yada, yada. And their mother came over. Now, granted, I say their mother came over. It wasn't like they were children. They were grown-ass adults, and their mother came over to defend them. And she started fussing at me in her British accent. And for some un-God-known reason, I don't know why, but whenever a British person gets into an argument with me, I flip on a British accent. I don't know why. It just happens. It's hilarious that it happens, but it just happens. And I'll be like, oh, well, is that true then? And I start talking in like a British person. And I don't know if because I think, If my mind goes, well, let's mock the British accent, or if just for some reason I'm involved in the accent and my mind thinks, oh, well, let's sound like them, so we'll talk like them, and because that's the way we're supposed to sound now. I don't know why, but it just happens that way. It's bizarre. I saw a clip where Donald Trump greeted Ivanka and Jared but ignored his grandson. Well, you know, Trump, he doesn't really like the Jews. And the grandson is Jewish because she converted, you know. So the more further away he is from DNA, the more likelihood he's not going to like him, you know, because there's less Trump in him. There's more Trump in Ivanka, and he wants even more Trump in Ivanka, if you know what I mean. Anyway. He probably doesn't even know their names, probably. Even if he went to Cheers, he wouldn't know their names. Hey, what's up, Phil Stone? Good to see you. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, right? Anyway, so yeah, Trump has defamed E. Jean Carroll yet again. And I can't, he's just going to become broke and broke and more broke and more broke and more broke. And it will be hilarious to watch. So. Anywho, it is just about 10 o'clock. I think 2 hours of a show is long enough for the night. It looked like at a WWE event. Nice. Oh, is that a UFC event? Okay. Probably true. I don't know how, I think the last time Trump was at a WWE event was when he shaved Vince McMahon's hair or cut Vince McMahon's hair. Because, you know, that's not embarrassing that we had a president who shaved Vince McMahon's hair at, I think, WrestleMania. So, that's always fun. But the fact that he's friends with Vince, with all the things that came out about Vince McMahon recently, oof. Not surprised with that either. I wonder if Vince ever went to Epstein's Island. That would be an interesting query to make. Anyway, I think I'm going to end this show now, but if you want to continue the chat, if you want to continue to BS and talk, maybe in about 15 minutes or so, I might come back on with Nerdy Dan. So I might be on twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. I might be back on YouTube as well with nerdydan.com as well. I might be just opening some, hey, Phil, thank you. Thank you for joining. I'm glad you could join some of the show. I'm not going to be playing any games on Nerdy Dan. It's not about gaming, but I have a bunch of card packs to open from those games I was talking about earlier in the show. And I'm going to do it on my Nerdy Dan stream instead of on my Liberal Dan stream. So, if you want to join me either on the Nerdy Dan channel on YouTube, which is just youtube.com/nerdydan.com, or if you want to go to twitch.tv/nerdydan.com as well. I'll be on there maybe in about 15 minutes or so. If not, it's too late or whatever. It's cool as well, but I just want to do that on YouTube just to be able to, show some of the card reveals in case I get a really awesome one. So thank you, Jolie, for sharing the link. But I'll also be on YouTube, so youtube.com/nerdydan.com as well. It's nerdydan.com everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, etc. So same spelling and everything because I'm trying to be consistent with everything. But thank you all for joining. Appreciate it. The end of tonight's episode of Liberal Dan Radio. I will be back Monday. Keep your eyes peeled for any other content. If I do upload a video, if you click the notification button, you'll get notified as to when I upload videos. Watch those, comment on those, like those, share those. It'll help the algorithms. It'll help spread the message. We're very close to getting 1,000 subs on YouTube, and that'll bring the show up to the next level as well. Unless there's something big that happens until next Monday, unless you join me on NerdyDan.com in a few minutes, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.